And now, the moment you've all been waiting for. Andy White and Nick Butler talk social media.
I think if we have an intro that's based on people scripting it, they're not going to get it.
So what do you think we should say?
Conversations around social media, technology, two of the brightest social media entrepreneurs in the south of England today.
Yeah, let me write that down.
I think the idea is we've got to go around every cafe in the south of England and record a different episode each one.
What should we call it, though?
It's all about social media. It's Andy White and the Loudmouth Man. Social media white noise.
I like it.
And now... Oh, sod it. Everything they just said.
Hello, everybody. We're live on Social Media White Noise, episode 32. I'm with Nick Butler, aka...
Loudmouth Man, and I'm with Andy White, aka...
Dr. Pod. I'm going to cough. Excuse me.
It wouldn't be a social media white noise recorded in Marwood Cafe.
Marwood Cafe.
This place is full of wind.
Do you think this could just be the best venue we've ever recorded at?
We're recording in what is basically a storage room because they haven't yet sorted out the tables. And it's brilliant. We are sat at a table that looks like it was evidently used in a school at some point.
No, I think it's been used to hit someone over the head with.
And we are surrounded by wooden storage cabinets and wicker baskets and Henry vacuum cleaners.
A big bike.
And a large pencil.
An old-fashioned music centre. And some model aeroplanes that Nick has been having his eye on
since been here. With envy. So this place, it is full of wind, and I'm looking forward to taking... It almost doesn't do it justice to take a photo from the outside, but we're going to have to, because you will not find the entrance.
It's amazing.
You will walk past it.
It's like something from Harry Potter. You almost have to pull a brick out of the wall, and everything goes... And the wall opens up, and you find this place.
I mean, this is almost like... No, I'm going to say it. It's bigger on the inside.
What, like Doctor Who's TARDIS?
Like that other thing on the TV show that... Yeah, we're not here.
But just to show you how good this place is, I mean, we walked in. I'd met the guy once before. He immediately recognised me. He says, "Hey, how you doing?" I said, "Well, great. Where are we going to sit? Nowhere to sit." He just says, "Oh, come on, don't be shy. There's loads of people here. Just make some friends." And we said, "Well, that's not really the problem. It's the fact that we're recording a podcast. So he lets us go upstairs in this room that isn't even ready yet."
It's basically we're throwing the stuff that we can't put up in the cafe in here. And we're going to put Nick and Andy in there as well. It's great. Love it. But anyway, on with the show. Enough ebullient enthusiasm for the cafe. Get down here. Coffee, by the way. Coffee, fantastic. Served in my unfriendly wide-mouthed cups, which I'm never a big fan of. But good, deep, black, strong, Arabica blend, clearly. Just... Really well served, well timed, well finished. Well, I'm waiting for my next cup of coffee now.
Nick is impressed.
I am indeed.
So we're going to talk about Google Buzz. We're going to talk about Raptor. We're going to talk about that big book company whose name I've just forgotten.
Macmillan pulled out of Amazon.
Facebook
changed its profile.
Yes, that as well, and a couple of other things.
My mourning of the fact that I've now completed Dragon Age Origins as a human rogue, and I'm feeling just a little bit like.
I know, I could tell when you walked in, you weren't your usual vibrant self. You're getting sort of a loss syndrome, a sort of...
It's a bit of buyer's remorse, really. I've sort of finished playing the video game now. Well, I've finished playing one of the threads of the video game. Mm. It took me about 50 hours. So, I mean, you talk about video games...
But that was a contiguous 50 hours, was it, Nick?
Oh, gosh, wouldn't it be brilliant if... No, since December. But if you look on Raptor, and we'll put the show notes in here, Raptor, there's this great... it's a great website which links your video gaming profile and habits into a sort of, you know, the games that you own and who your friends are and so forth across all the platforms, so PC, PS3, Xbox. Mm. And, you know, it rather embarrassingly shows that I spent 51 hours playing Dragon Age Origins to complete it, whereas I only spent 16 hours on Batman Arkham Asylum. Both video games cost me £40. Mm. I have gotten the most value out of Dragon Age Origins that I've had out of a lot of video games in a long time. However, both of them very enjoyable. But when I got to the end of Batman, didn't really care. Got to the end of Dragon Age Origins. And apparently my toastie has been forgotten.
Oh dear.
And it's gone down in history now, being ever memorialised in this podcast. But Dragon Age Origins has been just brilliant game, lots of just
Nick, can I just get this right? Is this an online game that you play online?
This is an Xbox video game.
Oh, it's an Xbox video game, okay.
It's a console, it's standalone, so you don't have to play it online, although it does have downloadable content.
Yeah.
And I was talking to Senny Dreadful, who's one of the hosts of the Box Room podcast with Marty Perrett. And apparently they've been playing it as well, and they just got to the end. A few weeks back, they got to the very end of the game. And Marty sort of joked, I bet you wouldn't play it now, you know, play it again as another character. And now they're going back through and playing it as another character. But it's evidence that you get to the end of it and you sort of think, I would kind of like to keep playing just a bit longer with this character. So I am a little bit
Do you think I should get it for my son, who's an avid gamer?
I would really? Say if Dungeons and Dragons, if role-playing gaming, if you can tick those boxes.
He's like you. He gets a game, he plays it contiguously for 50 hours, and then he says, I've finished it now.
Well, he's unlike me. He's unlike me because he gets to play it for 50 hours. He doesn't have the interruptions of family life.
I'm exaggerating. So, he doesn't really play it for 50 contiguous hours. Anyway,
there we are.
Anyway,
go and play this game. It was fantastic. But not only play this game, have a look at this site, Raptor. I didn't pay Raptor much attention the first time around. But now that it sort of plugs into all the different platforms, and you can sort of see that I play Settlers of Catan, Batman, Dragon Age. And not only does it sort of show the rather embarrassing sort of levels of how often you play a video game, but obviously within the video game, it sort of demonstrates your genres, what you're interested in. So it has this wonderful graph, and it plays out the social graph. So I think there's a way of finding people who share similar interests to you, as well as similar video games. It's just another social network to do that.
Yeah, so it's basically a social site for gamers, but
essentially. When you look at it, you realise that let's just say you want to phone in ill, right? And you're going to phone in ill because a video game comes out, so you phone in ill for work. This is not the site that you want. I mean, it's bad enough that you're, you know, if you're friends with your boss on Xbox Live, he's going to see that you've unlocked a bunch of achievements through the day. So we're just hoping that people can understand that you can be ill and play video games.
So on Twitter, we've got on TweetDeck, we've got Tukey Bunton asking what is being talked about. Is he not listening? Oh no one can hear us, even though we say it's live. Of course, we're just recording.
Well, if he was here, hello there, Tukey. But actually, Tukey is somebody else who plays Xbox Live Modern Warfare 2. And it's there is this sort of interesting thing where you play video games and you can almost have the spoilers level in video games now, in the same way that you can watch your films. Have you seen this film? No. Have you read this book? No. So it's like, well, you can't really talk about the plot point. Some of these video games are getting to the point now where the content has so many plot points within it that you're kind of like, are you there yet? No. Well, I can't talk to you about that. So there is this sort of
spoiler thing.
There's this whole addition language that begins to build up. I have to say it's carrying on this level of providing a way for other people to be able to look at your bookshelf and say, what am I interested in? What are you interested in? And to a certain extent, this goes back to what we talked about in the last show. We talked about not being able to see what's on the cover of an ebook.
But you've got an interesting story, haven't you, to tell about that?
Because Charlie Brooker has written an article extolling the virtues of loving his ebook reader. And of course, he points out that, you know, the usual snobbery occurs. You get into reasons why you would never own this particular device. And then he gets given one and he starts using it. And what he discovers is the great value for him is nobody sees what he's reading. So he can finally read those guilty pleasures of celebrity biographies. Instead of being seen to read the things you're supposed to be seen reading in public, you can be reading things that people don't realise.
Until he accidentally presses the speech button.
Well, exactly. And I just think,
he cups his breasts in his hands.
It's the flip.
Where's the buff button?
I really don't need to think about Charlie Brooker cupping anything in his hands.
What's all this buzz about Buzz then? What's going on with Buzz? And why do my ears keep going numb as if something's failing on the microphone, but never mind.
So I have to say thanks very much to Charlie Brooker for listening to our podcast. I think it's great that we have such an esteemed colleague working too. There we are. I'm supposed to be talking into
the microphone. No, it's okay. I thought your mic was failing and it's just gradually flopping down.
It's flopping down.
He's put it on a floppy piece of clothing.
I'm not allowed to do that apparently.
Yes, as the vicar said to the barmaid.
So yes, thanks to Charlie Brooker for listening to our podcast. It is fantastic to know that we have so many esteemed listeners who pay attention to our comments and topics. And I think this ebook reader topic is going to carry on, because I say there's so many things that ebook is going to stop as a social interaction. And you know, maybe Shelfari and Amazon wishlist will be there. You know, Nick is currently reading, and then it'll pop up there anyway. So the Raptor equivalent of your ebook.
And it'll be very, very interesting actually to see how the iPad is going to influence the ebook reader market.
I think the iPad is a fantastic device, and I'm getting one. I don't care what people say. We've got to get one. It's just going to make doing this. It's going to make doing this podcast a bit more interesting as well.
It will do. Yeah,
it will.
So what's all this buzz about Buzz? What's all this buzz about Buzz?
You got signed up to Buzz just as I was cancelling my account.
I didn't get signed up. You don't sign up to Buzz. It just appears next to your inbox.
You're just made to have your Buzz.
You just. What? You see, we pointed. Earlier in the week, I sent Nick an email with a link to a blog post that had the F word in it about this poor lady that was having all sorts of grief with privacy. And would you believe it? When we went to look today, you can't get in. It's been locked off.
The blog. Not Buzz, her blog.
Her blog has been locked off. Nick didn't get to read it, and I got to read it, which means I'm now going to try and remember what it was all about. But she was having the right sort of grief about privacy, something to do with she had an ex-boyfriend or a husband, and because Buzz automatically included some information from what she'd shared
TM Will Harris.
Nick will explain. He knows.
In the dark early days of Buzz, before Google understood...
Last week?
...that privacy might be an issue... When you signed up to Buzz, it immediately shared everybody who you've sent an email to as somebody who's in your contact list. So it immediately made the people you were following and the people who you might be following in your contact list basically a public item.
Okay.
Which is a bit of a disaster, because the social group of your email is not the same as your social group in social networks. See, social network social groups are elected. You choose to have people in and you choose to share.
Yeah, yeah.
Your email, you have no control over. So if you're receiving lots of emails from dodgy companies and that then shows up in your Buzz...
But they only become a contact if you reply to them, don't they?
Well,
but nevertheless, you might have replied to some very evil person that wanted to chop your head off or something.
It's always a good thing. The coffee has just re-arrived. Thank you very much. He's quite correctly put both cups in front of me, which is, I think, totally appropriate. Thank you, sir. And he's closing the door on us again, as if we want quiet.
No, we've lost our Buzz now. Never mind. Not the Google Buzz, the cafe Buzz.
The Buzz that is actually appreciated.
Hey, we've never been sounded so clear, Nick. I know. Why did we start recording this in a studio?
Because we wouldn't have decent coffee, decent sandwiches, the wee little cakey things that turn up with the chocolate sprinkles on top and the little Easter eggs that are about to start appearing because Easter is coming. So Google Buzz has this problem with privacy. And I think whilst this lady's blog is down, I have a link to Broadstuff, who puts it together so well. The Buzz and Lament of Solomon Grundy. Because Google Buzz launched on a Tuesday, hyped all Wednesday, concerns by Thursday, you on Friday, Blogstorm Saturday, retreat by Sunday, buried by Monday.
Buried?
That is the story of Google Buzz, Nay.
Monday coming? Just about? Today, Monday.
Honestly, I signed up to Google Buzz, and the first thing I realised is every time somebody replies to me, it's going to appear in my inbox. I don't need that in my inbox.
I didn't sign up to Google Buzz, but I've still got the Google Buzz next to my inbox.
Well, all the way down at the very bottom, you can select turn Buzz off.
So you have to opt out.
You have to opt out. And the other thing that we noticed is that you can... So if you tweet something and people can reply to that tweet, you can't go back and re-edit that tweet. So you might... There was a cartoon that I posted, and the cartoon was, you know, the guy asking on Google Buzz, who loves ice cream? You know, and everybody replies, I love it. I think it's great. I could eat it all day long. I could eat them all day long. Fantastic. Then after a few days, he goes back and he edits it to say, who hates babies? So now everybody's replying to who hates babies. Now, you can do this with a blog post. You could have a blog post that's really inflammatory and has everybody raving on it, and then go back and edit the content of the blog post so people's responses would be different to the blog post. And nobody's really worked out you could do that. But yes, you could do it in Buzz as well.
It's the old candid camera joke of editing the wrong question into all the answers.
Exactly. Yeah. Flip the question around. Yeah. Oh, fantastic. See, my cheesy bean on toast with a stash of Marmite. Thank you, sir. Good man.
Well, it looks like I'll be doing the talking for the next few minutes, isn't it?
You should be doing the talking. I'm going to take a really big crunch. Excuse me. Marmite.
I can almost taste it myself.
Marmite.
Oh, he likes Nick likes Marmite. Mm. Right, what have we still got to talk about then? So we still talking about Buzz, or have we finished talking about Buzz?
I mean, let's face it, I have cancelled Buzz after 2 days. Ow. Okay. Haven't bothered.
Okay.
How about you?
I nearly did then, but unfortunately the internet connection here seems to be a bit proxy-y. It takes about half an hour for every request to get through.
I think Google Buzz is up there with Google Wave. Don't you?
Wave goodbye to Buzz.
I mean, when was the last time you logged into Google Wave?
I never have yet. I have lived without Google Wave quite happily for the last several weeks.
I just wonder, why do Google release these products? Is it to screw over some other market?
No, I know exactly why they release these products.
Why are they just
Because they're innovative and they just throw mud and some of it will stick on the wall.
I mean, this seems to be a product that was designed by alpha geeks who have no concept of what everybody else lives in the world for.
Oh, dear. Mm. Well, we are enjoying Nick eating his toasty sandwiches, and sound effects are superb. Brilliant.
Like, we're not going to stop in a cafe. I mean, this is the reason why we do it in the morning, because usually I've had breakfast, but unfortunately I didn't get a chance to stop off for.
Yeah, Nick got a bit waylaid this morning, didn't you, into a different department.
I did indeed, had to head over to another client to give a presentation for a bit of software, which actually went remarkably well.
Yeah.
So it's all sort of moving forward. But Google Buzz, I cannot see the value in providing it to a client. People who spend their time saying, oh, Google Wave's really great because I can use it to organise. Well, I could do that with a wiki. And I've been doing it with a wiki successfully for years. The Wave isn't doing anything additional that the wiki wasn't doing.
Isn't it providing real-time updating?
The wiki? The wiki would email it.
No, you're right. It's only slightly more real-time than the wiki, isn't it, really? No, I see your point. I don't feel I can talk with authority on Wave because I haven't used it.
Well, I shouldn't let that hold you back. I mean, you know, most people involved in talking about authority on many things seem to also run training courses on it. And I have to say, I think it's fantastic to see the amount of people running training courses on how to use the internet who email me to say, would you be interested in a training course on Twitter?
And they don't Twitter you.
It's like, clearly. I like, well, yeah, sure, why don't you DM me?
Because we don't know how. Anyway,
I shall not name in shame because I fear that they are basically, you know, not much more clueless than that.
Nicholas, we are 16 minutes and 30 seconds into the podcast.
And Buzz, frankly, you
we've talked about Buzz, and I think we're still talking about Buzz, and we've talked about a few other things. What else did we want to talk about? Have we had any emails through at all? Possibly, asking us questions and things.
I haven't received any emails because I can't get back on the internet at the moment.
No, however, in the last few days.
However, the fun over at Facebook continues with their radically changing of their location again. Facebook.
Hang on, what do you mean by location?
Well, because their profile layout has changed. You go into Facebook now, and the layout for where your emails are and logging out is, and the layout has all changed in Facebook.
Okay.
So this results in. Whereas it used to be all the time at the very bottom of the screen in Facebook there would be a bar that's stuck at the bottom of the screen and if somebody notified you on something you got a little one in red appear and you go, oh look, I've got an update, I'll have a look at the update. Oh, popular. That is now up at the top, so of course when you're scrolling down you lose it, you have to scroll back up again, you have to do a refresh. It's just they kind of remind me of like Sainsbury's at the moment. Sainsbury's are doing a big layout change. And I think there's nothing more frustrating than you get comfortable with your supermarket layout and then they change where everything is.
Yeah.
Because the reason for change is it gives opportunities for people to discover something they didn't find before. But if I wanted to discover something I didn't find before, I'd have gone walking for it.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Meanwhile, they put this new change to their layout, so some things are easier to find, other things are harder to find, and some things I never wanted to find in the first place. I mean, the bottom line is most of us go into Facebook just to look at the status updates of all our friends.
Yeah.
Events that are running, such as Darren Kitchen from Hack 5, who's flying over to the UK for his birthday, and he's here tomorrow, Tuesday, and he'll be having drinks up at the Lyceum in London from 8 o'clock in the evening onwards, and, you know, people are welcome to come down and say hello. Including himself. And, you know, events like that, easy to organise through Facebook because you can bring your friends in and so forth. But what else am I really using Facebook for? Fan pages? Actually, just they seem to have made some things that were working really well now harder to get to, so you can't be bothered to use them anymore.
Let's have a look. Thighbook.com.
You shall have a look at Thighbook whilst I shall take another munch.
I'm sorry, because of this proxy-ish connection, it's still a bit slow. Oh, no, it is coming up. Do you know, why haven't I noticed they've changed stuff? Is it because I'm not a massive user of Facebook? It probably is. It's because I don't really use Facebook to send messages. I just tend to look at it as a sort of read-only place for me.
For me, it used to be my replacement to my address book from Thunderbird and so forth.
Right.
I could email. But now Twitter has become almost my own email client.
Right.
I mean, I will generally use Twitter far faster to send a message than I will using email. In fact, it just seems to me that almost Twitter is the short form web version of SMSing.
That's interesting. Suggestions. My ex-business partner is there as a suggested friend. I'll just friend him. Anyway, so, okay, so Facebook have changed their layout. Okay. Right.
Hasn't really grabbed your attention.
Not really. I didn't even notice, to be honest.
A large amount of frustration for many people.
Yeah, I bet it is. I can just imagine it is.
Because it's the usual thing. You walk in, you're comfortable where everything is. You know you're walking in, you're going to go up the fruit aisle, you're going to turn left, you're going to go past the dairy products, you're going to pick up the raw meats, then you're going to go into the tin food section, then you're into the bread section, then down into the frozen groceries section, back into the household cleaning section, and off out the door.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then
now,
move it all around.
You walk in, the first thing you've done, you're hit by the newspaper section. You're thinking, hang on a second, I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
And you stop and you stare for a while. And whilst you're stopping and staring, what you're actually thinking is, I can't be bothered now. Maybe I'll go to another place.
Yeah.
Waitrose it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you come out of Facebook and off you go to Google Wave. And then you remember, nobody's in Google Wave anymore, so you leave there as well.
Yeah.
He's quite distracted by looking around on this now. He's only just realised that he had several hundred friend requests that he's not responded to in the last couple
of weeks. Well, I've got six outstanding friend requests, but I don't know who they are. But anyway. Okay, right, so Facebook's changed its layout and it's issing some people off, I would imagine. Right, what else have we got to talk about?
So, that's about it, isn't it? That's about it. It's terrible. It's one of those short weeks.
We've only done 20 minutes.
And it's awful. I mean, we could pull this show up short, just like Macmillan pulling out all their stock from Amazon. No, it was the other way around.
Yes, let's talk about that. Let's talk about, because what exactly happened? The iNet, I mean, the iPad came out.
So, now I've done that one. Macmillan decide that they wish to change the pricing structure of ebooks.
They said, hey Amazon, can we have some more of
at
our profit?
At risk of alienating friends and losing people, publishers would like everybody to believe that they are incredibly tied to the hilt and short on cash, and that there's not a lot of money made in producing the books compared to editing and formatting the books, and as a result they'd like everybody to believe that the 10% costs that go into the production of the book and distribution of the book are minimal and shouldn't be paid attention to. This may be true, but it doesn't get away from the fact that you can instantly create a million copies of one book in a second and sell a million copies of one book in a second, which you cannot do with a physical book. So, and again, Broadstuff does a really good demonstration of this. You have a fixed cost for writing the book. You have a cost for writing the book. Mm-hmm. That is fixed. You have a cost for editing that book. Now that is fixed. Then you have a cost to distribute the book. Mm. Now if you have a cost to distribute the book and you're distributing it electronically, then after you've edited the book, you're distributing the book. You go straight across that line. Mm. You don't add the cost of delivering the book and marketing the book, etc., etc. So there is a complete different change. However, most companies, most publishing houses would like to make sure that ebook market doesn't cut into their publishing market. So they want to ensure that the ebook costs are set roughly similar to the physical book costs at the launch of a product, to discourage people from necessarily buying it through the ebook format and instead buying it through the hard copy format.
Yes.
So they want to set this agency pricing model. Now, to a certain extent, you're going to end up with a lot of people defending both ends of this argument here and saying, oh, you know, the publishers hardly make anything and the reasons for doing this is, and we're really concerned about blah, blah, blah. However, the end user is the one who's going to look at this, and he's going to look at an ebook and he's going to think, well, I'll see if I can get myself a pirated copy, a DRM-free copy, because I'm not going to pay. I think a lot of people were very happy with the concept that an ebook on release day would be a few dollars cheaper than the physical copy, and they didn't mind that. But now what they're looking at is it will be more expensive than the original copy. At which point, well, I kind of don't want to buy, you know, I'm committed to making use of my ebook. I'm committed to him. It's valuable to me. So what am I going to do? How am I going to extrapolate it? I'll end up trying to find a DRM-free version of it that I can use. Mm. So it's actually going to, in the long term, make a bigger loss for the publishers. And they're going to probably attribute that more and more often to, well, this is why the ebook market is a problem for us. It's going to change because Apple are going to have a different model to Amazon. Amazon were very concerned that without having the wholesale prices, which they were basically buying in wholesale, and then dumping the prices down for themselves and making the costs back over the masses of sales they were making. The publishers weren't happy with that because they were getting a fixed amount that was very small. Whereas if they go with the agency model, they get a larger amount up front because they're getting a percentage of it back, and they can then force the prices onto Amazon.
Sorry, nodding doesn't work well on the podcast, doesn't it? Yes, yes, Nick, yes.
I personally think that this is a big shoot yourself in the foot time, because anytime you go around saying, oh, we're not making enough money and we could make a better deal doing it this way, you're not doing anything to tell your consumer market that you're paying attention to their needs. And I cannot see any positive opportunity of sitting there and saying, we're not making enough money, therefore we're passing on all the costs to the consumer. Instead of, we're not actually successful in this model and we need to find a new model that the consumers like. Two different approaches. They took the one that said, wow, wow, we don't make money enough, and we're going to... And of course, the authors who've got great relationships with these publishers, they can't genuinely express anything other than support for the publishers. And it would be hard to believe that the authors could express anything less than genuine support for the publishers, because you wouldn't want to upset your publishing and therefore your own channel to market, because you'll lose the editor. You'll lose the editorial content, you lose the marketing, you lose the provision of all that control. So I find it hard when I read the author's positions on it to actually say, yeah, you're speaking with anything less than... Because unlike musicians, who to a certain extent don't necessarily have studio control over the production of their music, you know, the author does require editorial control in order to tighten up and to go back and edit and to rehash. So there is a complete difference here. And I don't have sympathy for publishing companies that want to say, we just don't make enough money this way. If their approach to it had been, you know what, this model doesn't work for us and we don't think this model is working for our consumers, and their approach had been totally different, I think they would have had a lot bigger win. As it is, they came out the door talking about money, and Amazon just went like, well, you know, it was all working fine for us. And it was working fine for our consumers, and you've just upset the consumers. Because the other side of it is, that Amazon actually managed to come off worse at the end of this, and because everybody thought Amazon was being a bully. So, I think when we see what Apple are going to do, we're going to see a couple of different markets come into play. And for my part, as I'm going to be an Apple user anyway, I'm going to have Apple iBook. We're going to see how Apple change the way in which pricing structures can change on books.
What was the upshot of this...
Oh, they caved. Amazon eventually gave in and agreed to the deals that were provided by Macmillan. So
okay.
The price of ebooks has gone up.
Okay. Oh. Well, at 27 minutes and 10 seconds into the show, while Nick takes another bite of his final toasted sandwich, perhaps you'd better think about...
Google Apps for your domain?
A topic that we have said we would talk about for many, many weeks... And finally, perhaps you can get around to talking about it. Actually, in all seriousness, Nick, have there been any further developments on Google Apps for Your Domain since we last jokingly said we'd talk about them?
Well, the thing about Google Apps for Your Domain, apart from the fact that Buzz doesn't fit into it, mind you, neither is Google Way.
Google Buzz for Your Domain, that would be interesting, wouldn't it?
Google Buzzkill for Your Domain. I'll tell you what I've discovered, actually, is it's good to move over to Google Apps for Your Domain, but if you're running your own private mail server for list services and mail shots... Mm-hmm. That is something that doesn't necessarily automatically fit in. So there is a requirement to plan for if you're running things like Mailman or PHP List that require emails to come back to that server in order to handle bounces and newsletter requests. So there does seem to be an area there that where Google Apps for Your Domain actually has a bit of a hole, is if you want to handle mail shots and large format mail shots, which is actually it's bitten me this week and has left me with a... how am I going to fix this for my client question, which I shall no doubt get around to documenting once it's all sorted.
Nick, sorry to just quickly slightly divert the subject, how long have Google Docs been able to upload files? I think we might have mentioned this in another show, but I'm trying to remember how long ago that kicked
been
in.
I've been since the last year, the last year and a half that I've been using Google Apps.
Did I say Docs? I meant to say files.
Google Files?
Any files, yeah. You can upload now any file.
Well, we mentioned this in the last show.
Was it the last show we mentioned it? Yeah. Yeah. Is it quite a recent thing?
It's quite a recent thing. But
yeah, because that's really useful.
But it's still... It's useful, actually, as a sort of storage mechanism I found when I'm working outside of the office and I've got a file that I need to send back.
Yeah.
But I still prefer to use things like YouSendIt.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
large file formats and large file sendings. Because it's
Why
just
is that?
Well, because they have a they don't have a limit on the file size that you can upload.
Ah, but Google do.
Yeah.
What's that limit?
Yeah.
Do we know?
It's 250 meg.
Oh, okay, quarter of a gig. Yeah. Right. Okay.
So as opposed to the sort of 3 gigs or so I get from YouSend.
It suddenly occurred to me how useful it was actually today when a client sent me a couple of WAV files. And I suddenly thought, oh God, I've forgotten that Google can do that now. Anyway,
I'm still a big fan of using Dropbox and getting more people to use Dropbox and getting more clients on board using Dropbox.
Maybe we should talk another day about why people like me sort of go off services for no apparent reason. And I wonder if sometimes it's because we have so much choice in other directions, it pushes us off something that was actually very good in the first place, such as Dropbox.
Such anyway. Indeed. There we are. It's a half-hour show.
I think we're at half-hour, so let's call it a day, and it's goodbye for me, Dr. Pod.
And it's goodbye for me, your loudmouth man.
See you next time, folks.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening to Social Media White Noise, brought to you by Andy White, aka Dr. Pod, and Nick Butler, aka Loudmouth Man. Please visit www.socialmediawhitenoise.com, where you can leave comments, listen to the show straight from the webpage, and subscribe for free. Email us at ulot@socialmediawhitenoise.com. Follow us on Twitter, Dr. Pod and Loudmouth Man. We'd like to thank the coffee shops of Sussex, Social Media and Technology, without whom this show would not be possible. See you soon. Peace.